What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the concept in philosophy of uncertainty. Uncertainty. All right? Now, I'm going to tell you right now before I get started. When I was, I think I've already told you guys this, but I'm going to tell you again because I can't remember who I've said what to. When I was your age, I thought I knew everything. Did I tell you that already? The older I get, the more I realize that I don't know. There's a lot that I realize I don't know. The older I get, the more I realize that I'm wrong about a good many things. The problem is I don't know what things I'm wrong on right now. I have to go with what I know, and then I hope to learn and grow, and then I can figure out where I'm wrong. But the point being that when I was your age, I thought I was right about everything. I mean, I thought I knew it all, which is a very scary thing when you're in your 20s to think that way. But that's who I was, you know? I mean, I was a... Anyway, I won't go into the details of that. In this class, we're talking oftentimes about concepts that illustrate what we as humans do not know. And what I want to urge you with is do not be afraid of uncertainty. Okay? You got to learn. In fact, in the philosophical realm, we need to embrace uncertainty and not be afraid of it. We can only learn and grow when we admit that we do not know something. See, when I was in my early 20s and I thought I knew everything, I was also very stubborn and wouldn't listen to anyone else. That's not good. So that's the role of uncertainty in the life of a philosopher, and hopefully all of you are going to start learning to become more like a philosopher. I have several quotations that are on my door, on my office door. Anybody seen that? Anybody seen the quotations on my office door? I think I'm going to make them like 5 times bigger then. I have 4 quotations on my office door. They're also on my Facebook page. Why? Because they're 4 quotes that illustrate what I believe is important in life. And I'm about to write those quotes on the board. And what are my rules? If it's on the board, you better write it down. Okay. The first one is this. Our vision is most often obstructed not by our lack of knowledge, but by what we think we know. Christer Stendahl, who is, I don't believe he's alive any longer, but a great scholar of this century. Our vision is most often obstructed. Who knows what obstructed means?
Like blocked, like
a captive. Yeah. It's when something is blocking you from seeing something else. You ever heard the expression, you can't see the forest because of the trees? Anybody ever heard that expression? If I stand right in front of a tree, what can I see? Nothing but that one tree. I have to back up. That tree is obstructing my ability to see the forest. And the truth of that axiom of wisdom is that sometimes when you're too close to a problem, you can't see the answer. You got to back away and get a different angle. You know, talk to somebody who's an objective person who's not close to the problem, because they can hear what you think and maybe give you an angle on it that you don't have. Okay? So our vision, what we believe is true, is most often obstructed. That's an R, by the way. Not by our lack of knowledge. See, oftentimes we think that if we can just learn more knowledge, if we can learn more and more knowledge, then we'll know better what is true and what is not. Sometimes what gets in the way is what we already know, what we think we know, what we think is right. I was on the phone last night with another person who is close to me, who is arguing with me about a biblical, theological question. And it didn't matter what I said, he had already made up his mind what he believed. It didn't matter what I tried to give him for data, evidence that he wasn't right. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is already made up. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. And that's what he was like. And I eventually said, you know what? I got to go. I ain't going to waste my time, because his vision was obstructed by what he already thought he knew, and he was unwilling to even open his mind to hear a different angle. Okay? That's a great quotation. Did you write it down? All right, good. Quote number two. The universe is change. Life is understanding. Marcus Aurelius is the one who says this in his philosophical writing called Meditations. Anybody know who Marcus Aurelius was? Anybody? Martiz? Anybody? Say again? He was from Rome, that is correct. Anybody ever seen the movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe? Marcus Aurelius was the old man in Gladiator. He was the emperor of Rome in the middle of the second century, and he was a philosopher as well. And he wrote a work titled Meditations. What is meditation like? What's meditation like?
Contemplation.
Very similar to contemplation. Tiana, I'm so glad you're in this class. What is this, your third day here? I need you guys to be on the ball. All right. So Marcus Aurelius writes, the universe has changed. Before he says this, he says to the person he's writing to, look all around you and observe the changes in the world that you have seen even in your lifetime. Then he says, the universe is change. Life is understanding. What does that mean, life is understanding, Jasmine? Do you know? Just from what this quote? Let's start even one step further behind that. Tyrese, right? The universe has changed. What does he mean by that? All the time. I mean, he's basically saying, don't find it unusual when things change around you. The universe is change. It's constantly changing. And what does that reflect? Our knowledge of what around us needs to constantly be changing, because the data is constantly changing. And so he says, look, get used to change. You've seen change in your own lifetime. I mean, you guys don't remember the day when people didn't walk around with cell phones. I do. You can't imagine the day when there wasn't email. I vividly remember not having email. Things are changing and evolving, and what we need to do is have understanding of what's happening around us. Okay? The universe has changed. Life is understanding. So, standing close to the problem, the tree, I need change, right? I need to change my distance and angle to grow in understanding. Have I got that? How we doing? I probably shouldn't have erased uncertainty, since that's the overarching theme of the day. Third quote. Truth, though truly absolute, seems to change as we change. But we must accept the truth as we see it. John S. Gibson the third. John S. Gibson the third will be guest lecturing for us in a couple of weeks. Truth, though truly absolute, seems to change as we change, but we must accept the truth as we see it. How many of you, like me, were taught that truth is absolute, that it never changes? Anybody? Nobody was taught that in church? When you were learning about faith and theology, you weren't told that truth is never changing? Certain things are always right. Certain things are always wrong, period. No one was taught that other than me. Well, that's part of why our culture's falling apart. Because we don't believe anything's absolute anymore. Oh, that's sad to me. Maybe it's because I'm getting old. What?
Why is that sad, though? You just said that it's always changing.
No, no. That's why this quote is so profound. Truth, though truly absolute, seems to change as we change. As we change, the truth seems to change. Truth, I believe, is absolute. The problem is, what is it? What is the truth? That's the difficulty. And then the last part, we must accept the truth as we see it, is because, I mean, like when I was a young man, I thought I knew everything. I thought my opinions were all right. I thought everything I believed was correct. I know that's insane. Most people didn't want to be around me because can you imagine my personality that thinks I'm never wrong? Some of you may know someone like that. So now I know that everything I believe can't possibly be true. The problem is I don't know which parts are wrong. If I knew they were wrong, I wouldn't believe them. But I don't know they're wrong. So I still, I have in my mind what I believe is right and wrong, but I have to be willing and I have to accept the truth as I see it, but I need to be willing to listen to other people. I need to be willing to read the data. I need to be willing to see the tree from different angles and different distances. Yes?
So you want us to believe what we believe but still be open to the ideas of others?
That's exactly right.
But if you really believed, then you probably wouldn't be open to the ideas of others.
This is the role. Who agrees? Who is I? Tyrese agrees, okay? This is the role of uncertainty. How do you know you're right about any particular thing?
I don't. I'm uncertain about a lot of things. Okay. I know that when people believe...
And thus, that's why this quote for me is so profound. I have to believe what I believe. I have no other choice. But I also know that some of what I believe isn't right. It can't be. I can't be right about everything. I can't possibly be right about everything. And so I have to have the humility to know that I'm not right about everything. I still have in myself the belief that I'm right. But because I don't know the parts that are wrong, I need to listen to you. I need to listen to you. I need to listen to others around me and be open to hear what they have to say, to change what I believe as I go, to realize where I'm not right.
I don't know a lot of people like that.
You know what? I agree with you on that one point. There aren't very many people. You know what I'm just describing for you in the philosophical realm, what I'm describing to you is how to deal with uncertainty, and it's another word that we've all learned, and we don't quite understand the definition, and I just named it a minute ago. It's called humility. Humility. Humility is the position that I'm talking about. You cannot truly have humility if you're unwilling to listen to someone who disagrees with you. I mean, this guy right here, he and I are best of friends. You know why? Because we argue about everything. We're not arguing because we're angry at each other, but everything that I say, I will call him on the phone and say, I need to run something by you. I need you to argue against me. Why? Because I need him to poke holes in my argument if there are holes. I need to test what I'm thinking I believe now, and I need someone who will try to poke holes in that argument to help me see if I'm right or wrong, or if I'm mostly right, and how I, you know. And so he and I do that, and we've done that for 25 years. Yes, ma'am.
I was just saying, I understand it when you put it like that, because it's like, you might believe something all your life, but when you come in, when you get into certain situations, you'll probably sit there and think like, well, maybe I was wrong about the way you approach something.
Okay. Everybody got that one? Mm-hmm. Okay. Quote number four. And if you ever... Now look, if you don't agree with me, that's okay. You don't have to... Listen... Even when you're taking my quizzes or writing my papers or whatever, you don't have to tell me what you think I want you to hear. In fact, Tiana, you know this from my ethics class. You will get bonus points in my mind when I'm grading anything from you if you argue against what I've already told you. If you can give me a good, thoughtful argument, I will be sitting there on my sofa at night reading your thing, and I'll go, oh, that's good. I may disagree with you, but if you give me a good argument, I will be thrilled with that. Yes, sir?
You might tell me on your quiz, if you put a quote, you get extra credit.
That is, well, if you... No. If you make me laugh out loud. It's got to be LOL. I had one of my guys in my 10 o'clock write several stupid jokes on his quiz, and I put on there, bad joke, no credit. So it's got to be something that makes me laugh. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a joke. It can be just a witty comment that makes me laugh.
So do I get extra credit for what I wrote on?
I told you. I did. I gave you extra credit because she took the roll on Wednesday, and at the bottom of the paper she put, I wrote, Paulino, is that right? No. What's your first name? What's your last name?
Paulino.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Rogelio Paulino took the role. And I just, that was funny when I read it. I liked it like it was a sworn statement in court, and it made me laugh. So I gave her a bonus point for that, too. Okay. All right. Here's my last quote, and it's from the Bible. It has now become one of my favorite It has now become one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Remember, I told you I was a pastor for 17 years, but I will not preach to you in philosophy class. Now, that doesn't mean I don't bring my faith. I believe Christianity is good philosophy, and you will be exposed to that in this class. Not just that, but I do want that to be part of this class. All right, so here's my last quote.